Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Hey, we are going to be starting up a new series. Today is the last message in the series called Strapped. So we're going to wrap that up here this morning. Then we're going to be going on to a new series called Passion. We're going to talk about just developing passion in our home and family. So that's going to be Super Bowl Sunday. That's a passionate Sunday, isn't it? Everybody's out there rooting. And we need that same passion in our homes and our family and our kids and our youth. Okay? And then week two is what? February 14th, what is that? We're going to talk about passion and marriage and God and marriage. All right. That'll be censored that morning. All right. And then we're going to talk about passion, developing a passion maybe in our hearts for a community, for one another within the church. So I'm excited about this series. I think these are some great things. So we're going to be talking about putting God first this morning. Putting God first is our final message in the Strap series here. Putting God first. All right? So far we've talked about we don't serve God. We don't serve God. We don't serve money. We serve God, right? And money serves us as we serve God. And we've talked about a lot of practical ways just on finances, how to get out of debt, how to save and invest, how to live below our means. And so, Dave Ramsey is the one that's kind of really helped to further things here lately. But Dave Ramsey got it from Larry Burkett. Anybody remember Larry Burkett? Yeah. And Larry Burkett kind of died, I think, in his 50s due to health issues. But he was kind of like the authority on finances and in scriptural teaching. So Dave Ramsey learned from Larry Burkett. But you know what? Both of these guys have taken it from where? Where did they get all their information from? Yeah, it's got it from God's Word. And I've really called the church to not be a servant to debt and to give, to be generous, to get our finances under control so that we're not strapped and we're doing the things of God. Now, I want to know, I need a $100 bill here this morning. Who has a $100 bill on them? Come on, somebody has to have a $100 bill on them. Chase, you got a $100 bill? Come on, Chase. Where did you? Did your mom and dad know you had the $100 bill on you? All right. Well, thank you, man. Thanks. All right. Give him a hand. Thanks, man. I needed it. Chase is my bud from here on out. All right. I did. Yeah. We're going to talk about tithing this morning, putting God first, stewardship. Gary alluded to it here earlier. The idea of tithing really stems from the idea of stewardship. Stewardship isn't a word that we use a lot in our day and age. Okay? But a steward was one that was like a servant that managed a wealthy person's household. They oversaw servants. They oversaw probably money, food, livestock, much of the material possessions of a wealthier person. And so a good steward was one that a wealthy person could totally entrust with all of his possessions, okay, and he had complete trust in that person that they would use that money wisely. Now, Scripture talks about a good steward and also some evil stewards there, okay, that when the master was away, they went and squandered the master's money and didn't use it wisely. In fact, when the master was gone, they would be out there having coffee break all day and kicking up their feet, not taking care of business like they were supposed to. But a good steward, even when the master was away, they were out handling those things as if it was their own. And that's the idea of stewardship. And God has entrusted that to us, whether it is money, okay, whether it's money, whether it is creation, this world Think of Adam and Eve, that God entrusted them. And Adam, he named all the animals, and they were to kind of oversee things. God has made us stewards of creation. All right, how we treat this earth, it is a beautiful gift from God. Right? But how do we treat it as people? Now, I'm not on the far left. I don't know, it was whatever. I don't know. If you're a tree hugger, are you on the left or the right? I don't know. All right, I'm not that, but I'm also not on where we abuse the land, all right? We have to manage it and be a good steward of. God has provided it for us to provide for our needs, whether it is for heating and whether it is for food. God has provided this, whether it's just for enjoyment. I got out yesterday in the afternoon, beautiful day, and got out to take a walk and just got out in nature and creation. I loved it, man. I loved it. It refreshes my soul. And so God has placed us as stewards of all those things. So I want to talk about putting God first. A practical way that God teaches us to put him first is a thing called tithing. So this is in your notes here. Tithing is returning the first 10% of our income to God's church, back to him. Okay? Now, just as Chase, I gave him this $100 bill. Okay? Just so you're wondering. And he held on to it for me. Okay, it belonged to me, but he held on to it. And he was generous enough to give it back to me. Okay? He gave it back to me. That is what God does to us. And we even get a better deal from God because he blesses us, allows us to work, to make an income. And he doesn't say, give it all back to me. He says, give what back to me? 10%. Give 10% back to me and you live off the rest. And I will bless the 90% that you are entrusted with. Proverbs, actually we're going to go to Leviticus, right Chris? Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether the grain from the soil, fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Now there's a difference between tithing and giving. Okay? Tithing means I give 10%. Now, some people say, well, I tithe every once in a while. Well, either you tithe or you don't, okay? Giving is when I give an offering, okay? Maybe help somebody out or maybe there's a special need in the church. I want to give towards chairs. That's an offering. Tithing is where I'm taking that first 10% off of my income and giving it back to God, okay? Josh had a question for me this morning, and he says, you know, I get paid biweekly. How do I do that? He says, do I just, when I get my check, write out a check for that amount and 10%? And I said, yep, you're on the right track. That's the way you do it. You know, and we get income in different ways, don't we? So the normal way is that we get a paycheck, right? And we tithe off of that. What are some other ways that we get income that they were supposed to tithe off their fruit and off other produce? They were more of a, what do you call that, a system where it's not based on money as much as it's based on bartering, yeah. So they were to tithe off their grain, off their livestock, off their oil that came in, okay? And they gave it to God. They brought it to the temple. I think many times we think of, in the terms, well, it's just my paycheck. Well, there's sometimes other ways that God blesses us of income, and we need to give back to God. So what are some other forms of income? Is there other form? Huh? Tax return, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's coming up, isn't it? You know, maybe you want to give back to God. You know, our kitchen back there, isn't that a nice addition? I don't know, how many remember before we had that addition with the windows? A lot of that was paid for by somebody that, I think, not just tithed off their tax return, I think they gave a good hunk of it. Okay? And it made it possible. Okay. What else? Oh, yeah. Time and a talent. Very good. Yeah. Time, talent, and treasure, right? Yeah. What else? Okay. Yeah, all right. We can tithe just off of being generous. But there's other forms of income, isn't there? But we live in a very monetary society, so usually it translates into money. But I think there's other ways. Yeah, that we give back to God. So Scripture calls us, of our wealth, the first fruits. Why do you think he calls it first fruits? Yeah, and the first was considered the best. All right? He wanted the first fruits. And that's why when we talk about tithing, we give God what is first. What happens if you leave your tithing to the end of the month? There's nothing left. And I've had people on a fixed income. And they said they began tithing. They said, you know what? There's no way I began tithing. There's no way I should have had enough because I didn't have enough before. But when I started tithing, I had enough. Okay? Somebody that didn't make much money, they lived on a fixed income, and it was a testimony to them of the principles of God. So the first thing is tithing is returning the 10% of our income back to God's church. All right? Your local church is what I like to call it. Wherever you're a local, if you leave here, at some point God moves you on and moves to a different church, I hope you are the best tither. And okay? That is my hope and goal. That when you go into that church, they say, man, they came from a good church because they know what its tithing is. Secondly, tithing is giving God the first and the best so he can bless the rest. So we talked a little bit about that. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. We give God that 10% back to him, and he has promised to bless that extra 90% so that it overflows. How many would like to have things overflow? Right? In a good way, right? I don't like it when it's on the burner and overflows and gets everything. I don't like that. But we want God's blessings to overflow. Okay? Mike is here this morning. Mike was just sharing a testimony of how I encourage you, I want to have you share that some Sunday. But just how God has been blessing him. As he's been faithful, God is blessing him and providing for him and Michelle and just going over the top. And he goes, you know, I don't deserve it, but God is blessing me. When we honor God, he is faithful to bless us and to help us. So, first fruits. Honor God with that. He wants to know that he is first. And see, I think the idea of tithing is we're giving back to God what already belongs to him. But when we do it first, it is communicating to us that God is to be a first priority in our life. He's not to be an afterthought. God technically doesn't need our money because he owns it all, right? Okay? Now, as a pastor, I say, well, if we didn't have offerings, you know, the church wouldn't go on, okay? But from God's perspective, tithing is to teach us to put him first in our lives. And money is one of the things in our life that we can hold on tightest to. And if we don't have that surrender to God, what else are we willing to surrender to God? Are we willing to surrender our relationships, other things in our life that are important to us? God wants to teach us to put him first in our life. Number three, why tithe? Why should we tithe? Well, first of all, number three there, tithing provides for God's work through his church. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which back then was the temple. Okay, in our day and age, I see that as the local church. Just a good parallel there. Then there will be food in my house. In the Old Testament time, we had the temple. And so the people would bring a tithe of their livestock, of their grain, of their wine, of their income, and they'd bring it to the temple, okay? And it was of that tithe that would help the ministry of the temple continue on, okay? So the priests, when they would come and work at the temple, they'd take shifts, and they'd be there like for several months, and they would live at the temple. And so their meals were provided from the cows, the grain, and stuff that came in. That was their livelihood, okay? So if people weren't tithing, guess what? They weren't eating, okay? The oil provided oil for the lamps in the temple. Help pay the utility bill, huh? Yeah. And the oil that burned in the temple. Day 24/7, the lamps in the temple burn. It provided for the ministry to help out to the poor. And so the tithe, when the tithe was there, the temple ministry was effective and it was strong. But as you read through the Old Testament, you'll find out there was times that the temple was closed. Why? Because people had quit tithing. They quit giving of their offerings. The priests said, hey, we have to live off of something. They would go back to their homeland they'd have to take other jobs. You know, and there's still that principle still alive today, that a strong local church has people that tithe and then they give offerings. You cannot have a strong local church without that. All right? And I'm proud of our church because we have a report to give out at our annual meeting, but we squeeze quite a bit of ministry out of what is given. Okay? We squeeze a lot of ministry. We do the biggest Easter egg hunt here in this area, okay? And we do it on a pretty thin margin, okay? Anybody that's helped run that knows that it's a pretty thin margin that we do that on. I think, one of the best Wednesday night programs in the city, all right, with youth and children, and we do that on a very thin margin, okay? So we do a lot with what is brought in here. But you know what? We're barely scratching the surface and hitting the need in Crete. There's so much more ministry that needs to happen in our community and in this area. But tithing provides for the ministry of the church. Number four, tithing teaches me to put God first. It's just a practical way. All right. Everett, you got it right? All right. All right. I'm glad he's listening. All right. It's a very practical way that teaches me to put God first. Now, have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? You don't have to show your hand. I have, I think. When I was growing up, I took something that didn't belong to me. What do we call that? Stealing. Yeah. Borrowing. Borrowing it, huh? Have you ever stole from God? Let's read Malachi 3:8-9. Will a man rob God? Yeah, you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. You know, I think most people, they come to church, they want to be under God's blessing and his favor. How many would say yes? And as a pastor, I want people to know God's blessing. And I can pray for people, encourage them. But there's still a spiritual principle that is in place that I can pray for people, but if I encourage people to line up with Scripture and with God, because then God can truly bless. Now, does that mean when Amy and I, we've always tithed? I grew up tithing because that's what my folks, I saw them doing, and they instilled that in me. Does that mean it's always been easy and good? No. No, there's been some difficult times. But God has always provided, and it's always been enough. It's always been enough. God has always provided. And the people in Malachi's day, they wanted God's blessing, but they did not want to honor God with their tithes and their offerings. God says, I want to bless you, but in order for me to bless you, I need to know that I am first in your life. And that begins with this thing called tithing. Wow. Matthew 23, some of you may think, well, that was an Old Testament thing. This is what Jesus had to say about tithing. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of the law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're careful to tithe even on the tiniest income from your herb gardens. How many raise herbs? Okay, I haven't seen any mint leaves in the offering here lately. Okay, you're not tithing off of them. They were so meticulous about tithing that they tithed off their mint, their cumin, all right, their spices. They tithed off of that. But here is the issue. You ignore the more important aspects of the law of justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, but do not neglect the more important things. See, tithing is to be something kind of down here that God wants us to master. And then he wants us to move on to things like love, justice, and mercy. And the Pharisees, they were legalists. And so they did some of the things like tithing and going to church. But their insides, their heart and their soul was all yucky inside. It was all on the surface. And God says, you know what? I want you to, you need to tithe. You need to go to church. You need to be faithful in these other things, but you also need to deal with the inside of the heart. That needs to be right and show love, justice, and mercy. Number five, tithing builds my faith in God. Right, Mary? builds your faith in God. He goes on to say in Malachi 3, "Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." It requires faith to give first. When you get that paycheck, when you get that extra bonus, it requires faith to tithe up front. If you are giving God what's left over, that's not faith. That's just giving God what's left over. But when you tithe at the beginning, that takes faith. Because you don't know what's going to happen that month, right? You're trusting God. And some of you may say, "But Pastor Brent, if I tithe, I'd have to make major changes in my life. I'd have to make some sacrifice. I'd have to have self-control. I'd have to put God first." Mm-hmm. Yeah. You would. But that's when the faith begins. That's when transformation takes place. I tell the story of Joe Marino. I've told that story several times, but Joe was our youth pastor, children's pastor here at Radiant Springs when the church began. And Joe now has started his own church plant in Hastings and worked with Youth for Christ over there, doing a great job. But when Joe was here, he had great leadership. He has some great leadership gifts, and good communicator, creative. But Joe also had some rough areas, and so we had to deal with some of those things. I remember one of the things was tithing. Sometimes he would tithe, sometimes he wouldn't. And I said, "You're a leader in our church. You have to tithe. That's not an option, okay? Because you're one of the leaders. Leadership reproduces leadership. So if you have leaderships that don't tithe, guess what? You're going to raise up people that are going to be the same way." And I said, "You have to tithe." And I mean, these were conversations where there was tears, okay? And there was sorrow, hurt. And I just remember those conversations. And he had to wrestle with that in his own life. And he said, you know, after that conversation, it was a matter of, do I pay the gas bill so my family has hot water? I can take hot showers. And fortunately, it was during the summertime, so they didn't have to worry about heat. Do I pay the gas bill or do I tithe? And he says, "I'm going to tithe." They made the decision, "I'm going to tithe." And so they went without gas for 2 weeks. And then he got more money come in and paid the gas bill and got things back on track. But he says that was a turning point in his life. And I believe it was a turning point in his ministry where God began to then bless his ministry, and he went on to bigger and better things, and God blessed him. And now today he has those same conversations with leaders he's raising up, and he's saying, "Let me tell you a story, okay? Let me tell you my story of what I had to learn in that process." It's not easy. It is a sacrifice, but it's a beautiful thing as we trust God. And let him flow through us. That's the powerful thing. See, if we don't have faith to trust God and tithe, then we'll never know his blessings and his provision. If we don't have faith to trust him in other areas of our life, and we say, I honestly kind of like the safe water just because of my personality, okay? I don't like to take a lot of risks, okay? But whenever I've trusted God and walked by faith, sometimes I'm hanging on by my fingernails. Sometimes I'm white-knuckling it, but I see the provision of God, and I look back and I think, wow, I never would have had that opportunity or that experience unless I've trusted God and walked by faith. Amen? And so God is concerned about your faith. You may be concerned about how much money is in the bank, but God is more concerned about your spiritual development and you maturing as a Christian and as a believer in Christ. He wants to develop character. He wants to refine you. He wants to bring out the beautiful gold that was this within each and every one of you. And he uses a lot of different things to bring that about. But we have to be a people that walk by faith. I'm going to have the musicians come. Tithing is an act of faith that declares I am putting God first in my life. It's declaring that he's my provider. All right? He's the one that's provided for it all. There's a neat story in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. You can look that up this afternoon. Genesis 14:20. But Abraham, he's the father of the Jews, right? We see the first reference to tithing. in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham goes on a mission to save his nephew Lot. Some invading neighbors came in, took away Sodom and Gomorrah, the people, raided the nation, took away the people, and headed down the road. Abraham gets word of it, and he takes his men, his servants, and his men, and they pursue them, catch up with them, attack them, and conquer this invading force. And they come back to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's before it was destroyed. And the priest was there. His name was Melchizedek. And the priest says, you know what, Abraham, give the people back their possessions that lived here, but you go ahead and keep all the rest. You keep it for yourself because you were willing to put your life on the line and to save those people. But Abraham did something interesting. He took a tenth of all that he had and he gave it to the priest, Melchizedek. And he goes, I want it to be known that it isn't some king or priest that's made me rich, but I want it to be known that it's God that has made me rich. He says, I'm not going to take something that hasn't come through God. I want people to know that God is my provider. And that's the first example that we see of tithing. So he took a 10% of that and gave it to the priest, priest Melchizedek. Tithing declares that God is first in my life. Now, if you're just doing it because, hey, Pastor Brent says I should do it, well, that's what the church requires of me, or I have to do it because I'm in leadership, then you're probably doing it for the wrong reasons. You've missed the whole point. See, that's what the Pharisees, they were fulfilling the law, but they had totally missed the point of what tithing was to teach them, that they were to put God first in their heart. And that's what God wants us to do. It's a tool that God wants to use in our lives to provide for his church, but more importantly, to help us to set aside as God is first in our life. Amen? And so, I don't know where you're at. I know a lot of you tithe. Some of you give. Some of you in the middle. I encourage you to take that step. Take the 3 months challenge and just take the 3 months challenge, tithe. And then come back to me and share your testimony, your story. Okay? It's not about me. It's about God. You're not, when you give in the offering, you're giving to the church, yes. And we try to manage that through God's perspective to further his kingdom. But when you give, you're giving to God. Okay? You're giving to God above all. Amen? Would you stand this morning? We're going to... This issue of tithing may be a kind of... Maybe it kind of made you bristle on the inside. That's the word I was looking for. Because it kind of forces the issue at times just of who's first in our life. Is God just out there, I come to church, or is he really the first thing in my life? And if he's not the first thing in their life, tithing's probably going to kind of bristle you on the inside. It's going to push some buttons. And but God wants to bring you to the place where he is number one. Amen? Where he's number one. I would like to close this in a prayer just of salvation. That if God isn't first in your life, that you make that step here this morning. Just surrendering your life to him and saying, God, I want you to be the first thing in my life. I want to know you as my Lord and Savior, but I also want you to be the first in my life over all things. And over my life. Would you pray with me this morning? Saying, dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. And allow me to put you as first in my life. To surrender it all to you. My life, my possessions, and all that I have. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, just of surrender to God and putting Him first, would you let me know? And we want to help you in that journey. Josh, if you can position yourself over there, and Yolanda over there for prayer. Yolanda and Josh will be at the back. If you need prayer this morning, they would like to just agree with you in prayer. And you can pray for Victor. Victor is in Costa Rica. He had to leave. He was with us last Sunday, but he had to leave Monday morning. His father passed away in Costa Rica, and so he had to fly back. And so you can pray for Victor and the family, that God would be with them. And so it's good to have Yolanda. She's holding down the fort here. So, but if you have a need or request, they will agree with you in prayer here this morning. And as we look to the Lord in prayer, Father, this morning, we just thank you. We thank you for your word here this morning. My prayer is that each person here can know your blessing. You know, if I could send everybody out with $1 million this morning, I would. But I don't have that. What I have, Lord, is your word that has keys, it has instructions how you can bless our life. Not only financially, but to bless our life spiritually, to bless our life, our relationships, to bless our heart and our soul. And Lord, the more we align our life with you and have that passion for you, Lord, the more our life is blessed. We'll be like that tree planted by the streams of water, that even in the midst of drought and famine, Lord, we're going to be strong, we're going to be solid, we're going to have enough. And Lord, that is my prayer for each one, that we can walk and leave from here knowing that the blessing, the favor of God is there. And even in the midst of the difficult times, that we can know that God's hand is with us and that there's always going to be enough. Lord, we give you the thanks. We give you the praise this morning. I pray you bless our food and our fellowship that follows today. In our meeting, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Denise, lead us in that song.